Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. Hope your hamate bones are intact. I'm Adam Weiner, joined as I am every week by fansided MLB insider Robert Murray, and it is great to have him back, and it is great to have Justin Verlander back in a Tigers uniform. That plus plenty more on the pitching market. We've been talking about how the clock is ticking, and free agents who are looking for a home are going to need to sign soon if they want to get ready for spring training. Well, spring training is here. Pitchers and catchers have reported. Where is Zach Gallen? Where are the rest of them? To break it down and answer your questions is Robert Murray. Robert, welcome to the show.
No, it's good to be here. We made it back in one piece, everybody. It was kind of a hectic last show for me, leaving abruptly. There's things happening behind the scenes, but it is good to be here. I turned 30 today, which I can't believe that is actually a thing, but I am 30 years old as of today. But I'm excited to talk baseball because we got all sorts of different stuff going on. So good to be here with you, Adam. Happy Monday. How are we doing?
We're doing good. Happy birthday, dude. 30 is a good one, actually. Underrated. What people shouldn't do is turn 30 during the heart of a pandemic when your friends have to go join you on a rooftop while you stare at each other. But it's much better to do it now. So enjoy everything that comes with 30. I hope everyone joining us today, please wish Robert a happy birthday. And what he wants for his birthday is for you to like, subscribe, listen on the audio feed, maybe even subscribe to the Baseball Insiders newsletter. You can go to fansided.com, follow the newsletter tab, get that done, delivered directly to your inbox twice a week. Robert's insights come on Tuesdays. You can also join us on this show Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the Prospect Show on Tuesday, as well as in the Discord, join at the All-Star level to get special access to a Thursday afternoon Q&A at 3 p.m. Eastern. Okay, we've been talking about the pitching market moving for weeks. Get your questions locked and loaded. We will definitely answer them as the show goes on. But Justin Verlander, sort of the heartwarming move of the week, goes back to the Tigers yesterday for his age 43 season. When did this dream seem like it might become a reality to you? This is like a question we fended off plenty this offseason, and they waited and they waited, and then the results and news drops. And here it is. Verlander as your number five. Not so bad after all. Thoughts on Verlander and the reunion in Detroit?
It's funny as heck with the timing on this, because earlier yesterday morning, I was asking around with people like close to the situation, being like, is he trying to sign before the season starts, or is he trying to like follow the Max Scherzer method where he's open to signing like mid-season with the team, is what Ken Rosenthal ended up writing about Scherzer a few months ago. Got no replies. I'm like, oh, that's kind of odd. And then all of a sudden later on, it was announced that he was going back to the Detroit Tigers. And to me, that's a freaking awesome story. 1 year for $13 million, $11 million deferred. It's clear he wanted to go back to Detroit. And he obviously has an extensive history with the organization, came up with the team. And you look at that team now, that rotation's freaking awesome, man. They obviously get Framber Valdez, now add Verlander. They made some moves there. Obviously, they got a guy named Scooble. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before, but he's pretty good. Also, the fact that he showed up to the arbitration case with apparently his Cy Young awards is a pretty darn cool detail. I believe Ken Rosenthal was also on that, so good job by Ken. But it was an awesome signing for him, an awesome signing for the Tigers. It's more than just a PR stunt to me. It obviously – you have to wonder if this is going to end up being his last season in Detroit, and him riding off into the sunset with them is going to be pretty cool. But he's capable of providing meaningful innings for the team. And he's obviously a Hall of Fame presence, and you add him to that locker room, that clubhouse around their young pitchers as well. That to me can only mean some good things here. Obviously, like, there were some details that we were not privy to. Also the fact that Reese Olson was going to miss this season with an injury. He's been a pretty steady presence for that rotation for like the last three seasons. So that's obviously a blow. But if you add Framber, if you end up adding, well, you add Framber and Verlander, that more than makes up for it. And the Tigers, to me, absolutely are one of the more dangerous teams, especially on the pitching side this year.
it's all of a sudden like a top three deepest rotation in the league. You're going to squeeze Troy Melton out of this either way. For the team, like Skubal, Framber Valdez, Casey Mize, Jack Flaherty, Verlander, Drew Anderson coming from overseas, like even without Reese Olson, which is a blow and which is probably the reason they ultimately came to terms on this and used their deferrals the way that the Dodgers would have and have successfully. Just about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we're talking about what a disaster it is that they alienated Tarek Skubal and they're taking him to court essentially to argue for his supper. And then they sign Framber Valdez right as that goes down. Next day, we learn Skubal's getting the full salary, and now we have a creative Justin Verlander contract. Verlander is hype. Like you said, he posted on his Twitter a highlight reel to like collapse yesterday. He never tweets, and he had that locked and loaded. He was basically blew the dust off the Twitter account to put that out. And I think a lot of people, if you ask them, hey, what did Justin Verlander do last year in San Francisco in this sort of hidden season, they would have said ERA over 5, washed. By the end of the year, he got it to 3.85 through 152 quality innings and had a good second half. So that's your five starter. If everybody stays healthy, you have a 6 and 7 that matters. I think Detroit just went from 2 weeks ago, we're talking about, can the White Sox make noise in this division? And now it's the Tigers to lose and it's not really close.
No, I totally agree with you. And like, obviously getting Framber is huge. I wonder, like, my first reaction when I saw that Framber contract is, what kind of message is that going to send to Skubal, where they sign him for over $30 million a year, and they're arguing that Skubal was only worth $19 million. I wondered if that could end up ruffling some feathers. But my understanding or my feel coming out of that ARB hearing is, like, you hear of teams ripping players to their faces in these hearings. It wasn't that kind of thing at all. I think it was a precedent deal where the biggest arbitration the biggest gap or biggest raise in arbitration history was Jacob DeGrom. And the Tigers tried to argue something along those lines. But obviously Skubal's camp led by Scott Boras really thought that it was he was deserving of a much bigger raise than that. And obviously he ended up getting it. So the Tigers, who are not necessarily known for spending big dollars by any means, now have Skubal on the books for what, $32 million? You have Framber Valdez over $30 million here as well. Verlander really is only making what, $2 million this season, considering the deferrals that started in actually 2030, which is kind of crazy considering that's only 4 years away. It does not feel like it's 2026.
Nope.
Life is kind of flying by there. But no, I was critical of their offseason. I did not like the lack of movement for them as of a couple weeks ago, but the fact that they've ended up getting Skubal's case figured out with apparently no ruffled feathers, getting Framber when I thought a guy like Lucas Giolito maybe made more sense for them, also getting Verlander back too, that's pretty good. And I give credit to that front office for sticking it out here, because they were getting some heat privately, publicly, you name it.
Credit where it's due. I am very impressed. Just because Verlander goes, and I think there's a reason that you were looking at Verlander and Scherzer as the, hey, maybe they sign mid-season guys, because the rest of this market has been relatively slow. So why would 43-year-olds join, you know, up with an MLB roster before guys like Zach Gallen, before Zach Littell? I mean, so we've still got quite a logjam to work through. Who goes next, in your opinion? Is this market still going to move this week now that we're passing the pitchers and catchers report date, or do we still have a lot to sort out?
Yeah, we still got a lot to sort out, but you have to imagine there's going to be some movement here. And we've already had some. Jose Quintana, it got reported last night that he'd agreed to a deal with the Rockies. I can actually tell you it was done the day before, or at least agreed to the day before. But 1 year for $6 million for Jose Quintana, I think that was a nice signing by the Rockies. Obviously, he's not the player that he once was, but they're doing something really smart here. He's the most obvious trade candidate in the world at the deadline. And shoot, you add that veteran presence to that clubhouse, you get meaningful innings, at least early in the season, and you can flip him for a prospect at the deadline. There's absolutely no harm in that whatsoever. And let's say it doesn't work out. It's only $6 million. And they also signed Sugano as well. So they've added two guys to the rotation there, but shoot, there's still some really good names that are out there. Also, Kanye, the show just started. Relax, Tubbs. yeah, but as far as like the rest of the market goes, we have Zach Gallen, who is obviously like stands out as one of the biggest names remaining on the market. And shoot, you can look at the Baltimore Orioles, who are still very open to adding another starting pitcher. I think they are a tremendous fit for him. The Cubs make sense. The Diamondbacks make sense. And obviously he has extensive ties to the organization. He's been there for almost a decade and they know him very well. And I think it's obviously the fit there is, it makes a ton of sense for both sides, but as far as the finances go, like that's going to be the part that if he goes elsewhere, that to me is going to be the reason why he's not back in Arizona. Another team that's been reported is the San Diego Padres. That is something that I've actually heard over like the last couple weeks. I don't necessarily know how likely that is by any means. But shoot, AJ Preller is always lurking in the market. And if you can find a way to get some value or structure a contract uniquely, which shoot, he did that with Nick Pivetta last year. And that obviously worked out great for him. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that with a guy like Zach Gallen, but he's lurking on that one. And he's lurking on some other things here as well. Zach Littell is another one that we've talked about on the show. He remains incredibly popular. That's basically what I can tell you as of this point. Still think the Angels make a lot of sense there. Lucas Giolito, again, I would take a flyer on him, whether it's a 1 year contract, 2 year contract, I don't know. But I think you can end up getting some real value there for him. And even a guy like Walker Buehler, obviously it's been an up and down road for him. But he's still standing out there. He's got a World Series pedigree. He's big game tested, obviously extensive injury history. But that being said, for like a 1 year deal for about $4 or $5 million, give or take, I think that's a worthy gamble. So we'll see. But those are the four names that I'm watching as of this point.
As Sean James 6944 says too, the Braves need to add a starting pitcher after the Schwellenbach news. The Schwellenbach news, both daunting and with an undetermined end. We have no idea what the outcome is there. He's on the 60-day IL. We don't know if that means bone chip surgery. We don't know if that means full season or mid-season recovery. So you've got J.R. Richie internally, starter of the Futures game last year. I like him to get a real look at Braves camp. Like he's battling it out with Bryce Elder, Grant Holmes. These guys are in the starting pitching, like Ronaldo Lopez. You starter reliever, you know, they've got some pieces, but I would throw the Braves back at you too as a team that, like, if they signed Lucas Giolito 6 minutes after the stream ended, that would make a lot of sense to me.
No, it totally would. I would love the fit for Atlanta there and getting a guy like Giolito or just any of these remaining guys. And it's really unfortunate. Like, we have not even had a spring training game played yet. I mean, pitchers and catchers literally just reported, and we're already talking about the Atlanta Braves dealing with these injuries again. And it sucks. It's very unfortunate, but I would totally agree. I think we absolutely need to include them on the list of teams that are going to be looking for starting pitching, because I'm pretty confident they've been scouring that market.
Now, Canyon, while he may be a tubby, is correct. We have not talked about the Marcelo Ozuna signing or the Jose Urquidy signing, but here's me talking about that. Okay, he's a Pirate now. But Marcelo Ozuna is the Pirates' latest. You know, the timing has not lined up. We have not done a show together since he joined Pittsburgh. That was a long rumored move, and here it is. It's still not official, but his jersey is hanging in the locker room. So all but official. I think we will see him in Pittsburgh. Complicated fit means the Pirates are saying goodbye to Andrew McCutchen for all intents and purposes, who's posting, Bible verses and remembrances on his Twitter feed, is the opposite of Verlander, who's posting hype videos. McCutchen is basically posting, this is kind of sad, posts. But Ozuna, 2024 looked a lot better than 2025. Still supercharges this Pirates lineup up another level. What are you expecting there? Even if there's continued regression, I think it still makes a difference.
So I'll start here with a note on Framber that just got sent to me. So I don't know if this has been reported or not. Maybe it has. I don't know. But his 2026 salary is actually $17.5 million, and he's got a $20 million signing bonus, all of which is deferred. So that gives him a little bit of flexibility for this year. And then his 2027 salary jumps to about $37.5 million, which aligns with Scooble's free agency. So that's kind of something that makes you go, but anyways, Ozuna from the Bucks. I love the move. And I give the Pirates a ton of credit for going out and spending like they have. They have obviously upgraded the offense. They got Brandon Lau, they got Ryan O'Hearn, and now they get Marcell Ozuna. And at one point, I was thinking it was going to end up being between Ryan O'Hearn or Marcell Ozuna for them, and they ended up signing Ryan O'Hearn, and they waited out the market for Ozuna. They realized there was an opportunity there, and they went out and struck, and they've been on a bunch of other guys here as well, and they were absolutely firmly in on Suarez. There was at one point I thought they were going to get him. That's how much they were involved there. They were obviously on Schwarber, which that was, to me, that was never really happening. But they've upgraded the offense in desperately here by signing three proven major league players. And they're going to be a lot better this year offensively. To be fair, I don't think they could have been worse. But you pair, even if that offense is league average or if it's slightly above league average with that pitching staff, you have the makings of a pretty darn good team. And I think I've said it before on the show, and I'll say it again. The things that I've heard about their new manager, Don Kelly, a lot of people really love him. So they have the ingredients there to be like a difference-making set of players or set of coaches. So I'm anxious to see what a full year of a new offense and a new manager look like. And again, I'm continuing to mention the Pirates here as a postseason team, and them signing Marcell Ozuna for what, 1 year for 13? Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah, that to me is, I would have done that deal over and over again. So I give them a ton of credit.
Yeah, I do think they're a playoff team. Wait for the preview show, because I do think we're both going to line up on that. I want to get your thoughts on the Caleb Durbin Red Sox trade too. We talked about this on the prospect show yesterday. I don't want to get off the stream without talking about it because it weirds me out. I think it's stunning in both directions. He's an ideal player. He's going to do great at Fenway Park. Still doesn't give the Red Sox fans what they were looking for. Still looking to create power out of different sources because they didn't get that Isak Paredes or Ketel Marte yet. And I can't believe the Brewers cut bait on him, but also the Brewers return. You can so classically see succeeding in a Brewers uniform. So what are you more stunned by? That this is Boston's infield solution. They go all in on defense and a different offensive profile after all that offseason mess, or that the Brewers were willing to give him up at all for Kyle Harrison and company?
Yeah, this is one that I had no idea was coming. And I was, no exaggeration, I was getting ready to leave my hotel room in Vegas, saying goodbye to my folks. And I looked down at my phone and I see that Durbin had been traded to the Red Sox. And I was so caught off guard by that. I'm stunned the Brewers did it. He, to me, felt so much like what epitomizes a Milwaukee Brewer. He is an overlooked guy who is incredibly talented. He hustles. He's obviously small in stature. He's 5'7". And the comparisons that I've heard with him and Dustin Pedroia have been common. Now he's going to where Pedroia used to play. Well, he went from being managed by the guy who used to coach Dustin Pedroia at ASU and now is going to the place where Dustin Pedroia ended up playing his career. So it's crazy to me. I did not see it coming. And the Brewers gave up more than just Durbin. Like they gave up meaningful players in this deal, Monasterio, some others in there as well. But to me, the thing that stands out in the return is Kyle Harrison. And Harrison is obviously a very highly regarded prospect. He was once thought as a guy that was going to end up replacing Madison Bumgarner in that Giants rotation. And then he does not work out and he gets traded to the Red Sox for Rafael Devers. And he's still got like the ability there for sure. And we've seen the Brewers do this before where they've taken on these guys, whether it's a former proven major league veteran who's struggling or former top prospect. And the most recent case here is Quinn Priester, got him from the Red Sox and they turn him into an incredibly useful starter. Harrison's upside is far greater than Priester or just anybody else that they've used this on. So if it works, they have the potential to have just gotten a frontline starting pitcher for Caleb Durbin and some other players. It's a risk. They also got David Hamilton and some other players that they really like, but the key piece for this, the one that made this work, was Harrison. And if we've learned one thing over like the last few years, it's to never doubt the Brewers pitching lab, because their ability to develop pitchers is second to none. So it's a risk. It's something that the small market Brewers have to do to succeed, but that's a risk. But if it works, it's going to look like a massive steal for them.
I don't doubt the Brewers pitching lab here. I do doubt that they handed the Red Sox an infield solution. I wish they had not done that. Again, pretty hilarious if you hate the Yankees, which I think everyone does and should, that they had Durbin in their system and he was sort of like their answer to Pedroia, and somehow he still ended up on the Red Sox anyway after all that. Like, oh, internally, they might have their own Pedroia. Never mind, they traded him to Milwaukee. Never mind, Milwaukee traded him back to Boston. Ending on just like one sour note, we can't not address the injury bug early. It's rampant every spring training, but the hamate triple whammy of Francisco Lindor might need surgery, could be knocked out for 6 weeks. The Mets are playing additional people out of position into Corbin Carroll needs surgery. He's going to miss the World Baseball Classic. Into Jackson Holliday needs surgery. He's going to miss opening day. Just quick thoughts on those three impactful injuries. And I think obviously the Mets might've been hit hardest here.
Yeah. I mean, talk about stunners and all the same injury, the hamate bone. And it's a, what's the word? Finicky isn't the right. Maybe it's the right word. I don't know. But the fact that these guys are sidelined this early on in the camp is a huge blow for all of these teams. And it's going to take some time for them to obviously build back the strength, but also to ramp up again. And shoot, you look at, I mean, Lindor, I mean, that's a huge blow for them. And Corbin Carroll for the Diamondbacks, that happened, I believe, in a live batting practice for them. And now he's sidelined. He's going to be missing the World Baseball Classic. I'd call him questionable at this point for opening day. But the fact that we've had three of the same injuries here for star players is really unfortunate here. And shoot, as pitchers and catchers report and as other players report, it feels like we're only going to be hearing about more and more injuries. And it's the unfortunate part of baseball. But the fact that we're getting this many injuries, like before games are even starting, spring training or even regular season, that sucks. It really, there's no other way of putting it.
It felt like just yesterday I was watching Corbin Carroll throw a baseball against the stucco wall to work out. Cause it was yesterday. I saw that yesterday and now he's injured. So here we go. That's why some pitchers may be waiting on the sidelines to fill gaps as injuries continue to flow in spring training. The sad part of the game, hopefully some of these guys get right as we ramp up towards the regular season. We thank you for joining us here in the Baseball Insiders and we will catch you again on Friday.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.